Lauren, and I'm doing a podcast for the History of the Modern World. Today, we're going to look at an African trade bangle from Bani, Nigeria. Now, the trade bangle itself is really small. It's 2.5 centimeters in height and 8.5 centimeters in width. When I first saw it, I actually thought it was some type of jewelry because it was made from metal and it has a rusted gold coloring to it. But after doing some research, I came to understand that it is actually a form of publicity made by Africans to be used by British traders. To better understand the trade bangle, we must first look back at Nigerian history to see how trade became so important in the region. The first Europeans to make it to the West African coast were the Portuguese in the late 15th century. The Portuguese navigators were looking for a way to bypass Muslim Morocco and open their own maritime markets on their way to India. And Portuguese ships had explored the West African coast as far as the Niger Delta, and by 1481, emissaries were sent into Benin by the Portuguese. The port of Benin became a depot for peppers, ivory, and slaves in exchange for coral beads, textiles from India, European-made tools, and weapons, as well as manillas, which were brass and bronze bracelets that were used as currency or could be melted down for art. Trade with the Portuguese allowed Benin to keep hold onto the lower Niger areas where cities like Bani were. Benin's growth slowed and ceased expansion after the Portuguese stopped buying pepper because of the availability of spices in the Indian Ocean and the Benin's trade embargo, which stopped their selling of slaves to foreigners, opting to keep them for themselves and their domestic economy. This allowed for cities on the coast like Bani to grow as they continued to export slaves to the Portuguese. Initially, the Portuguese bought slaves for resale on the Gold Coast for gold, hence the name the Slave Coast. Slaves were being sent to the Americas, so that the Bight of Benin was looked to as a place for supplies. But the Dutch quickly took over from the Portuguese by the end of the 16th century as Dutch naval power grew. The British created national trading companies in order to compete with the Dutch. The Company of Royal Adventurers was chartered in 1660 and succeeded in 1672 by the Royal African Company, because only a monopoly could afford to maintain and build forts. By 1750, Nigeria was so important to the British that they paid £13,000 a year to maintain forts in the area. Century, the British had become the dominant slavers and handled around two-fifths of the transatlantic trade. Nigeria kept its position as a hub for slave trade, and by the 18th century, more slaves were coming from Nigeria than Angola, and by the 19th century, 30% of all slaves came from Nigeria. Over the whole trade, 3.5 million slaves were sent from Nigeria to the Americas alone. Slaves were not the only trading export coming out of Nigeria at the time. Bani was an Atlantic oil port and was known for trading fish, salt, palm oil, and palm kernels, but its economy was based on their success as slave traders. So when the British enforced the end to the slave trade in the 1830s, they were slow to stop, but by 1850, they had moved to becoming a major palm oil and palm kernel exporter, as well as exporting ivory, timber, beeswax, and palm produce until 1916. The bangle is most likely a form of publicity for a British trader. It is significant as it exemplifies the importance of trade in Bani and across Europe. Trade was a vital part of both the Nigerian and British economies. The bangle has a inscription saying Grand Bani, referring to the Bight of Bani, and was most likely made by African metal workers. The bangle is exemplary of the infamy of Bani and trade. The trade would have been recognizable and a great way to publicize trade. It also showed the importance of Bani as a trading port, seeing as people were publicizing it and making it known. Trade in Nigeria was extremely important to the British, who colonized it and who kept control until 1960. British rule in Nigeria exacerbated differences within Nigerian culture and class. British imperial expansion was maintained by the exploitation of raw materials, minerals, and cash crops. The importance of trade kept British hegemonic rule in Nigeria and left a lasting mark on its economy and development. Today, the port of Bani is still as important as it was in 1950. The exploitation of oil in the Niger River Delta has brought interest back to Bani and Nigeria. The delta and its harbor have been enlarged to make room for vessels and storage tanks for oil. Nigeria's economic growth is largely fueled by oil revenue now, much like the slave trade revenue once did. Since British rule, Nigeria has struggled with military coups until 1990 and continues to gain stability after years of colonization.